This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinza.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. And no, I'm not Aaron Camaro. I'm Chris Sinzak. Aaron Camaro is resting his golden throat this weekend because he texted me this morning and stated that he woke up with a horribly sore throat and he can't speak at all. And we actually had a couple of things we were scheduled to record today, and we've had to put those off so he could rest his voice. And I didn't want to sit here and talk to myself this week before I intro this great interview that we did. So I decided to, what was that old 70s song, Family Affair? I decided to have the family involved. So my wife, Michelle, yes, folks, the one that I refer to that rolls her eyes most of the time while we're recording, is on the other microphone this week. So welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. This is Michelle. How are you all?
Are you nervous to be on the mic?
I don't know why. I just asked them how they're doing. They're not going
to
respond.
They're not going to answer back. They download and they listen later. It's not a live show or anything.
I'm used to talking on the phone.
We don't take phone calls either.
Dial 1-800.
No, you.
Sure, it's Mix-a-Lot.
It's actually and kick those nasty thoughts. It's actually 540-DB-GEEK-1. If you do want to make a phone call, hardly anyone ever calls us, but please do that. But no, I didn't want to talk to myself, so I thought I'd fill up a little bit of time. And this isn't a normal hour-long interview that we usually have because Chuck Garrick is who we're talking to today, and he had to get ready for the tour that actually just started. As you'll hear in the interview, they're overseas in Europe right now, and he had to get finished packing for his plane and head out to Prague for 2 days of rehearsal. So, yeah, all my wife ever hears about, this is kind of a little behind-the-curtain thing, so she'll hear Aaron and I kind of going back and forth, and the actual studio, quote-unquote, is really a room that my wife has to walk through to either do dishes, make a meal, or move laundry from one room to the other. So
I call it the dollface.
Yeah, it's like it's the office, basically. And it's I have the best family in the world that allows me to do this nonsense week to week for you guys to listen to. And my daughter Hannah is also here, so we're going to fill up a couple of seconds with Hannah. How are you, Hannah?
Good.
She's actually not afraid to be on the mic, because if you listened to the bonus track from a few weeks ago, you would have heard her talking about her favorite Slayer songs and Judas Priest songs and stuff like that. But yeah, so basically the interview subject this week is it's a conversation that Aaron and I got to have with Chuck Garrick. And Chuck has a lot going on aside from Alice Cooper. He's got a really cool band called Bisto Blanco. And most of the songs that you hear going in and out of the breaks are those songs with him singing and actually playing guitar on those. And it's a really good CD. If you want to pick it up, go to livefastdieloud.com, and you can pick that up. We encourage you to buy the CD. Before I get into the interview, got to do the Geeks of the Week. So let me take a deep breath and read out all these names. On Twitter, ViperRBNY, HDC7904, JTB72G, Nashville Metal Band, Sidharth Menon, Lovegun21, HDC7904, Music Mags and Wax, Global Mutation, Paul Korn, who actually got a Decibel Geek shirt in the mail and took a photo of himself with a horse head on. So thank you, Paul. I don't know what that means, but it's really cool.
He's into The Godfather,
I guess. Beyond Our Bedroom retweeted it. Derek Novak, Carrie O'Gorman, Audio Junkies, Billy Hell, Hardaway, Jeff Ludband, Hard Rock Dad, Matt Severson, and Sarah Pentilla. On Facebook, we have Matt Ashcraft, Joe Lascon, Chris Karam, Shane Hartley, Todd Cunningham, Robert DePasqua, Lee Maslin, Brent Walder, Steve Langenbrunner, I think I got that right, Matt Severson, Andrew Jacobs, Derek Novak, Miguel Nunez, Rodney Dixon, JTB's Groovy Record Room, Sit and Spin with Joe, cool name, Scott Yeager, Andy LaFon, Kiss Army Omaha, and George Savastano. And while we're on George Savastano, George let me know that I missed reading his name off a couple of weeks in a row. And folks, there's no certain scientific method I go by to find out who shared and retweeted this. So sometimes I'm missing some of these, and I'm doing everything I can to figure it out. The best way I know to guarantee your name will get read is to take on Facebook or Twitter, share or retweet the actual link that we post. Retweet our post on Twitter or Facebook, and I guarantee I will see it. Because if you just copy the link and then put that on your Facebook or Twitter, sometimes I may not get a chance to see that. So I'm doing the best I can. It's a work in progress. All of you who shared and retweeted, thank you. You guys are our advertising. You are the people that spread the word and get more listeners to the show. While we're on that, if you're going to do any shopping on Amazon, doesn't have to be music related, you can do anything. If you can buy just about anything on Amazon. And if you do that, just go to decibelgeek.com and click that Amazon banner. And then once you go click through there, you do your shopping as normal. And we get a kickback of a few pennies on the dollar for everything you buy. And it's just a good way of helping support the show. And you don't have to spend any extra money. If you're not an Amazon person, go to the donate button on decibelgeek.com and just tip your DJs and show your support that way. No pressure or anything. We like putting out the show every week, but we do have expenses. And we do have groceries to buy, do we not, Michelle?
Yes. Yes, lots of groceries.
Yeah. So
hours planning grocery menus.
She's happy when I read out these calls for support every week, I'm sure. So I've rambled enough with my wife. Do you have anything to say before we get into the interview?
No. I'm shaking my head, folks. I've never talked on a microphone before.
You never could tell. But thanks for doing it for us. And Aaron will be back next week. I'll be back to do a quick outro, but Aaron will definitely be back next week. Here's our talk with Chuck Garrick. Check it out.
Prague, and then you start the bunch of festivals.
Yeah.
The Swedish Rock Festival.
Yeah, one of our writers, Rich, from Canada, is going to be in Sweden.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he was like, I'm going to see him. I said, tell him I said hi if you see him.
That's a cool festival, man. I mean, I've been doing that festival since probably 2000. The first time I did it was with Dio. And Alice opened. Dio headlined, and then we... And I've done it now twice with Coop.
Oh, yeah.
So this will be the third time.
I think I watched you guys play that festival on YouTube. This is a hell of a crowd.
It's great, man. Yeah.
People as far as you can see.
Yeah, yeah. It's also like Wacken Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one in Germany, which is like 80,000 kids, right, man. Yeah.
And they really get into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool, man.
What is it about the Europeans that make them grab on to good music better than Americans do?
I don't think it's like grabbing on to good music, because I think everybody has a taste of what's good or what isn't. I think it's just their dedication to the style of music that they like. I mean, they show their appreciation a lot different. I mean, you know, they always have for U.S. music, or just in general, just to the metal that comes out of Germany or Norway or any of that stuff. I mean, they just really have a dedication to the music, and they're not afraid to just go and have a good time. I don't know, man. I just think here in the States, it's just too easy to be critical and, you know, and yeah, judgy, and then, you know, it's hard to get good shows. And but I mean, you know, I know there's a difference in the crowd, but I do think that the love for music is still here. I just think it's just a little bit more flooded,
right,
with so many different artists and shows going on. I don't know, man. Maybe
especially,
we're just...
Especially Nashville in particular.
Yeah.
There's so much competition for your dollar here.
Yeah, but see, I've had more fun in Nashville than I've had in any other place, yeah, because it's such a... You think country music, which it is. It's country, it's blues, it's everything. But it's rock and roll, man.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to rock here.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I actually... one of the reasons why I fell in love with Nashville so much, because I just kind of started to do these rock gigs, you know, at Music Square over there on Dan McGinnis, and it's just packed with people that you wouldn't necessarily knew existed here that just want rock music. So I know rock and roll is still alive in the States, man, but, you know, it's just a different culture over there, and I mean, that's why bands thrive over in Europe, but... you know, in Japan as well. I just think,
Well, I saw you guys at the Dan McGinnis shows, and for those, we have listeners from all over the place, but for those that don't know it, it's basically a group of musicians that are working musicians that, in their off time, get together and just jam out on songs that they love.
Yeah, man, it's fun, man. It's just, we wing it, we throw a set list together a couple of days beforehand, and just woodshed and go there and see what happens, and we're doing stuff from... you know, Sensational Alex Harvey to Head East to Motorhead, Deep Purple, Rainbow, Runaways.
Right.
I mean, just all the stuff we kind of think is cool. You know?
I particularly enjoyed the Working Man rendition.
Yeah, it was great.
The whole jam.
Right.
I mean, And I was watching it, and I even posted a picture of you guys on Facebook, and I was just like, what other city are you going to find this in, where all these guys just get together on a patio stage and just play?
Are you kidding me? You know? Peter Baltz is from Accept, gets up and jams balls to the walls. I mean,
yeah,
nobody's...
That's awesome.
I mean, it was real special, man, and I was glad to be part of that thing.
If you saw the video, you would just assume that it was L.A. or something. You wouldn't automatically think, oh, that must be Nashville.
It's really, the stereotype has really changed over the last few years.
I mean, it's Music City for a reason, man. Right. I mean, you know, you're not going to be able to pull something over that isn't genuine and isn't good. And here people know better. And to get that sort of appreciation from the fans around here, the music goers, if you will, then they're coming and they're flooding into place. And I think it's, you know, it shows, you know, the hard work we put into it.
One thing I liked about it was I was watching you guys play. It was you and Jeremy Asbrock and Philip Schaus. And you guys, when I'm watching it, it's almost like I'm watching a group of teenagers in a basement playing, jamming out in high school.
Yeah.
Because I could see you guys are genuinely having a great time.
Well, I mean, that's what music really is about. Fans. I mean, it's still, I think it's the one thing that does keep me young. It's the reason why I can, you know, still make stupid decisions and get away with it. And, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm still that kid in high school playing music when I get a chance to play music, especially going and playing some of the music I grew up on,
right?
Or, you know, again playing some of the Dio songs or the Black Sabbath songs I played when I was with Dio. And it was, for me, man, it was a necessity, man. I needed, when I first came here, and when they offered it to me, as far as I'm concerned, it made me fall in love with music again in a different way, you know, because I haven't had to do that in a while, you know. Yeah. It was killer. Yeah.
Does it kind of take you back to when you were a kid and you were first starting out?
Yeah, I think so, man. I mean, like I said, they were bringing up songs that I knew and I'd listened to a million times, maybe learned when I was a younger kid, and then now I hadn't played them in years. Like, they wanted to do Over the Mountain, War Pigs, and I'm like, oh my God, I haven't played those songs in years. And so I knew them. I just had to kind of put the notes in place, you know. And it was kind of cool, you know. They did. Oh, it was the Trooper. They wanted to do the Trooper one night. And I just got up, I played it. I knew the whole thing, man. I learned it when I was a kid, you know. Right. I just had to figure out where the notes were in the solo and remind myself of what it was. And thank you, bro. Just took a couple minutes, and I, you know, so it was cool. But yeah, it definitely does take you back. I think, you know, that's the joy of, you know, being a musician and picking it up at a young age, and then still being able to do it at you know, my old age and making a living at it. But you know, still revisiting songs that were, you know, that, you know, kind of changed me as a kid, and the concerts I used to go to. And to still be playing those songs and still see the fans getting into it, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of being young, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lake Tahoe, California. Small little, you know, mountain town.
Yeah? Nice.
Yeah.
What was it like when you first, like, because you're a musician, you've been a musician for a long time, you've done all these amazing things, worked with all these amazing artists. What was the beginning for you? What really hooked you into this? To music, to pick up an instrument.
Yeah, man, I just always loved music as a kid, man. I mean, I used to, you know, my dad was a banjo player, and he was always playing, you know, whatever kind of country bluegrass around the house, and I loved it. And I used to just put on his Glenn Campbell records or, you know, Bill Monroe, and just kind of dance around and whatever. You know, play my acoustic guitar. I didn't know what I was doing, but I always loved music as a kid, and I remember picking up the trumpet in elementary school as your instrument. I don't know why, man. I never really thought about guitar or drums or bass at that time yet. I just, for some reason, wanted to play the trumpet, and I loved it, and I had a great time. But I remember my brother coming home with Ted Nugent, Free For All, and a box of, you know, 8-tracks and the Stones and the Beatles and Queen and just all this killer stuff. And I'm like, whoa. And we started listening to that, and I started getting turned on to rock and roll around, you know, probably 12, 13 years old, like really into it. And then I discovered AC/DC and Sabbath and The Who, and, you know, all this great music just started to come that I really started to, you know, like, kind of connect with, like all of us do, you know.
Sure.
It meant something to me. Kiss, obviously, and, you know, bands like that. So I had a couple of friends down the street that could play, the two brothers, one played drums, the other played guitar. They were both really, really good for being so young, especially the guitar player. I mean, at 16 years old, the guy was playing, you know, Zeppelin like there was no tomorrow. And so we wanted to form a band, and they needed a bass player. So I bought a bass and just learned to play. You know, it was one of those things. As soon as we could play like three or four songs, we were playing backyard keggers and shit, you know, and just having fun. And it just started to grow from there. And you know, it wasn't necessarily a thing I thought about, like, oh, I'm going to go make a living and play for Alice Cooper, or I'm going to do this or do that. I just knew, like, this is really the only thing I'm good at. I wasn't, school was never my forte, you know. So I knew music was a place that I had to figure out a way to make it still a big part of my life.
It's obvious Free For All is a big influence on you with the Beast of Blanco album cover.
That's
awesome.
An homage to
Man, Ted's a big influence on me in general. I mean, it was one of my first concerts, him and Humble Pie, it was amazing. I just always loved Ted's kind of animalistic, you know, no bullshit type of rock and roll. You could tell that guy's schooled and has an appreciation for rock and roll, you know, for the Chuck Berry style and Little Richard and those guys, where it really came from, raised in Detroit. And just being around that type of musicianship. I've talked to Ted about that, and I know it really shaped him. You know, growing up in Lake Tahoe, I didn't really have any place I could go to, like, learn to play. I mean, it was just a bunch of fucking Grateful Dead bands and shit. You know what I mean? And I didn't relate to that stuff, you know? So I kind of just had to find my inspiration through the radio, stay up late at night, wait for stuff to come on the radio that I wanted to hear, or just go hang out at the local music store. But, you know, guys like Ted and Alice and these guys, where they are able to really watch some of the guys that were really good masters at their instrument and learn from them, was amazing. So, you know, in a way, Ted was kind of like my teacher, in a sense of, you know, especially back in those days, of you know, just how rock and roll was. I loved his live shows, his energy, his he believed in everything he did, man, and that really kind of inspired me a lot, man.
Well, you know, and I think one of the drawbacks with Ted today is everything he talks about is so non-musically related, and it's like it overshadows such an immense amount of talent. And talk about, you know, guitar tone for days, especially on those albums from the 70s. I mean,
the guy's a monster player. And you know what I mean, as we get older, I think we get more comfortable in our situation. Sometimes it may be easy for some artists to forget a little bit of how they got there, but it's also the audience that you start, you know, drawing, maybe don't really know that older side of Ted. I mean, it's hard to say, but when you get him in the backstage and you're able to just have a conversation with him, you know, it's about music. Right. Yeah, we sat there and we talked about, you know, playing guitar and Detroit and you know, influences and all this stuff. I mean, we didn't sit there and talk about politics and, you know.
Yeah, it just seems like whenever a microphone's put in front of his face, he goes right to that.
You know.
Although a lot of the interviewers bring that out of him, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're
going
to get that sound
they're
bite.
They're
going to
want that from him, man. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, is he a political guy? Does he believe in what he stands for? Absolutely. And God bless him, man. We need more red-blooded Americans out there that, you know, believe what they're doing. I love it. And there's that part about me I love. Do I necessarily want to go there and hear about, you know, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or all stuff? Fuck no. I don't want to hear that shit, man. Right. I want to be taken away
with
music and rock and roll. I want to be entertained by your guitar playing and by your songs. I want to be taken back to the time when, you know, he influenced me. So when that stuff's going on, I just block it out, and I just wait for Stranglehold or Free For All.
Like you said, you know, he's so passionate about that stuff, and he believes in it, being a red-blooded American, like you say, and you believe in all that, you know. And those interviewers, you know, they're going to poke him, they're going
to
prod him.
They know how to get it out.
Well, we're going to get Ted to say something crazy.
And he's not going to turn down that opportunity.
No, he's not.
You know, and it's like, again, it's a lot of that stuff means just as much to him as the music does to us.
Right.
So you gotta give the guy, you know, credit for believing it and not drifting back and forth. He stays on one side, and you know, that's the only bummer sometimes I think with musicians is you get uh, you you get caught up in one thing, and politics, and it's a sensitive subject of religion, and you know.
Well, and you know,
you got to stick towards just your music, man. I mean, that's how you got there, as far as you know. I'm concerned.
Yeah.
If I want you know views of politics or something else, I'll go to a different forum for that. When I want to go to a concert, I want to go see. And listen to
the
music.
Only politics I want to hear is when Alice sings Elected.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Sebastian Bach.
If you want to listen to pop fucking metal and shit, go buy the Nelsons record, you know. I want nothing to do with that shit.
When I go through her,
oh,
putting the O back in rock.
It's just like a
oh, oh, oh,
a hot knife.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast.
Yes! Oh! Yeah, so let's get back to Alice. So did you grow up on Alice Cooper? Were you a big fan?
Not really.
Really?
It's funny, I discovered Alice kind of later on in life. I remember my buddy down the street of me, he had Schools Out, and I remember listening to the record, and it was, wow, this is pretty cool. For some reason, it still kind of passed me by. I mean, I listened to it, but I wasn't into it as much as I felt like, I don't know, for some reason, I was just really into bands at that time. And
More than
yeah, and there really wasn't an association back then with the, when I first discovered Alice, I think, you know, the original guys had already been out of the band.
Yeah.
So I just didn't really grasp onto it, although I did like it. It wasn't until later on in life when I, you know, started to branch out and visit some of those older records that I started to have more of an appreciation for, which I think that's the cool thing about music as far as I'm concerned, is maybe there is stuff that does pass you by, like I'll run into these fans that, you know, they've been fans their whole life, and they're, say, they're in their 50s or 60s, and they've been listening to Coop since the first record came out. And I didn't,
right.
You know, I didn't discover some of those records until, like I said, later. But that's the cool thing about music, is it's still out there. And to this day, I'll still go and buy a record that I know about the artist,
right.
Like Bonnie Raitt, for instance. I just kind of got turned on again to her music, you know, and I figured, like, oh shit, you know, I know she's been around for years, but now it's starting to mean more to me.
Yeah.
You know, so Alice just kind of came, I think, in a more important part of my life when I could actually appreciate it a little bit more.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. We've gone through the same thing, I think, too, where, you know, we've always, I know I can speak for myself to say that I've always liked Alice Cooper, but I never really dug into some of those older albums. But then, you know, meeting Dick Wagner really turned us on, like the Dada album, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever gone out on my own and got the Dada album.
Exactly.
But since we talked to Dick Wagner, and like you say, you can get an album from 1982, and if you've never heard it before, it's still a new album, you know, to you. So you hear it for the first time, and it's like, this is amazing. You know? So
no,
that
dude,
was
not
a treat.
See, that's the beautiful thing about it, especially Alice Cooper, man, is there's so much to go back and listen to.
And a variety.
And there's records, like you said, like Dada, you know, Zipper Catch a Skin and all these that I didn't even know existed.
Right. Most people didn't because it was a weird time.
Yeah, and now I go back and I listen to those records and I love it. Again, man, I mean, that's just part. The beautiful thing about music, like we talked about, man, is that it's forever growing and forever changing, and it's all there for us to just keep, you know, getting inspired by and listening to, and you know, and as we grow up and it's, things happen in our life, different artists start, you know, meaning a little bit more.
Right. I asked a few diehard Alice Cooper fans I know, you know, told them we were going to sit down with you, and they said, is there anything you want to know in particular from Chuck? And one guy asked, like, what is your role as Alice's musical director?
You know, Alice kind of put me in charge of that. There's been so many changes with drummers and guitar players. And the one thing that's remained the same for the last 12 years is his bass player.
Yeah.
You know, and so Alice just kind of felt like, hey, you know, you've got a pretty good idea of what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
How, what versions these guys are playing, what it should sound like. And I was very grateful that he kind of had that trust in me. Because there were so many guys coming and going, and anytime there is some changes. So basically, my role, it's not really so much as like a musical director saying, you have to play it this way, or you have to play it this way, or you're not playing that right. It's more of like directing the guys towards the right versions of the songs, trusting their instincts, obviously, and their musicianship. Because we've never really had anybody in the band that didn't know what they were doing.
Sure.
It's like everybody has different strengths. One guy may be able to sing backgrounds really well. Another guy's a really great lead player. This guy's a great rhythm player. Or, you know, they're both combined. They can play rhythms and leads. This guy's a great, you know, drummer. I mean, every musician that I've played with in Alice Cooper has had really unique, special talents, man, that are necessary to survive in this world.
Yeah.
I suppose you don't get that gig if you ain't no good.
Exactly, yeah. Man. And so my thing is just always like, hey, let's just learn from this. Everybody's learning from the correct source. And when we go in to rehearse, man, just making sure that it's played classically correct.
Right.
And when you're playing with a classic rock artist, there's really so much about just tone and vibe and just kind of laying back. And even having a little bit of that sloppy 70s style of rock guitar, right. that helps. So it's more of just making sure we're all the band guys are in the right direction, and we're all kind of going together and become unified as brothers and all kind of fighting for the same cause. And the same cause is to make sure that we're playing the songs correctly.
You coordinate.
Yeah, man. We just make sure everybody's doing their part. And if somebody stops and we're all supposed to stop, then one person keeps going, then right. We'll fix it, you know? It's just one of those things, man.
Since we did this Dada thing with Dick Wagner a few weeks ago, I've heard from so many Alice Cooper fans about that album. They're, like, really passionate about that album. Is he ever going to break the streak and play one of those songs live? Or does he just out and out not want to do it?
What songs are on that record?
Well, the one I'd like to hear, Pass the Gun Around, is Scarlet and Sheba.
Yeah, Scarlet and Sheba would be great live.
No Man's Land, I Love America.
I Love America was on the set list.
Yeah.
When I first got in the band.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are playing that live?
No, we rehearsed it.
Oh.
I know. You know, that's the band.
I'd love to see him play one of those songs.
Wouldn't you love to be in that situation where you just have so much material that you just don't have enough time to play it?
Right. That's a good problem.
He's to have so many songs that you have to play that by the time you get to putting the set together, you've done, okay, we have to do these.
Yeah.
And then, oh, we're going to do these. And I mean, look, man, we've touched, we've done songs like Clones and Looney Tunes.
I love Clones.
My Stars.
Mm-hmm.
You Drive Me Nervous. All these kind of tunes that, Serious.
Great song.
That, you know, when we... Sometimes certain songs sound amazing on a record.
Right.
When you go to play them live, they don't necessarily have the impact
right. When
you put them in a set.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, but there's certain songs that just fit and certain songs that don't. Otherwise, sometimes you have to change more than just one song. It's hard to just throw in a My Stars or, you know, one of those tunes that in the middle of nowhere. Because unfortunately, not a lot of people are as versed with some of the obscure Alice songs
right. As,
say, you guys are,
yeah.
Or even, you know, some of our fans that are there, where we could play any song off of any, you know, existing Alice Cooper record, they're going to know it. But a majority of the fans, they're not going to know it.
There's one fan out there going, yeah. Holy shit, and everyone else is like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, yeah.
John, this one's for you.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, and you got to put that in perspective, because it is a concert, it is a show, and it is entertainment.
Yeah.
As much as we always try to keep Alice, you know, thinking of, don't forget about these songs,
right.
And we get them in there every once in a while. There has to be a reason for those songs. And, you know, songs I've been wanting to play for years is Unfinished Suite, which is one of my favorite tunes. But we've, you know, only got past the rehearsal stage of it, you know.
But it has been rehearsed.
Oh, yeah, man. We've done so much, dude. I mean, there was a time when I first got in the band, we did Bare Bones. I mean, it was, he was bringing out every.
I've got a friend that wants to hear I Better Be Good.
Yeah, there you go. Grim Facts, I think, is great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, listen, man, there's, you guys got great, great songs, and we could do, we could add them. I actually think it would be better if we just did a set where it was just the obscure stuff, and then we just ended with School's Out or something.
Right.
You know, but just did all that stuff
or
that you wouldn't expect.
Or you could do like Kiss and do an Alice Cooper Cruise instead of Die Hards and just play nothing but obscure.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm trying to give you ideas to give to you.
I love it, man.
But, I know it's got to have a certain flow to it, you know, and in one song out of nowhere could really, you know, bring everything to a screeching halt for a second there, you know.
Hey, man, whatever, dude. I'll do whatever, you know.
Yeah. Nice. Well, so up until now, you know, you're about to hit the road with Alice and Motley Crue.
Yeah.
But up until now, you've been pushing the Beast of Blanco thing.
Hell yeah, man.
And how has that been going?
It's killer. It's great,
album.
Man. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Yeah. I worked really hard on that record. And, you know, we did a European run with it. And we got, you know, it was received great. The people really seemed to get it. And are chomping at the bit for more tours and more songs. And so that's my goal right now, man. Cool. It's just to keep the spirit of Beast of Blanco alive. And I'm constantly writing and getting ready to do the second record as soon as I have a little downtime with Coop. And here I am in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm just, I can't wait to do the record. I'm going to do the record here. I've got amazing people I can work with, and it's going to be killer.
I got to give Tommy props on the production.
Yeah.
It sounds really full.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, you're back in mentally in Alice mode, ready for the next few months?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Are you guys excited to do the tour with Motley Crue?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the tour of the summer. Yeah. It'd be fun to be part of that thing. You know, I just had dinner the other night with Mick, and he's excited. Everybody just wants to get on the road and rock, man. It's going to be fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy you're doing it, and I'm glad you could take some time to talk with us.
Oh, dude, thank you.
I know you got a million things going on, getting ready to hit the road. So.
Literally, getting ready to hit the road, right?
You know, I got to go today, man. I got to go to Walmart, maybe Home Depot, and Target. I'm just not sure if I've got enough time.
Right. You know. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, thanks for taking time.
Man.
All
right, bro. Appreciate it. You know you're a busy guy, man.
All right.
Good luck on the tour, and thanks for sitting down with us today, man. Chuck, it's always great to see you.
Cool.
You know, when you get back, we'll hang out, have a couple beers again. You know, we've got... It's great to have all you guys in Nashville. It's very cool.
I'm good at having a couple of beers, man. So anytime, I'm always
You feel like this
that.
Is turning into Sunset East out here a little bit?
People have said that. Yeah. I don't know about that. I think... When I was in L.A. and it was, you know, era of Sunset with Gazzari's and, you know, and whiskey and all this stuff. I mean, that was like, there's nothing else like that, man. Nothing else like that. I think that what you have here is you have a really good place where there are some amazing musicians at. I think that, and this is a really good place to be right now. I would say, is it Sunset? I don't know. Maybe there's some elements of it every once in a while, but I'm kind of glad it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just glad that it's more in Nashville and that I can go out and see some quality music that I enjoy. You know, I don't necessarily want it to always be rock or, you know, glam rock or any of that thing necessarily, but if I want to, I know I can find it here.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think, I'm glad that Nashville exists the way it exists right now, man. I think it is starting to grow and change, and you'll start to see even more original stuff coming out of here.
Well, I know your family that plays on Tuesday nights is looking forward to you getting back into town to start picking that up again.
Yeah, man. They got a guy that's going to cover me just fine, man. You know, those guys are great dudes, and they're going to have fun over there. You know, I'll get up and jam when I get home and have a little chance to do that.
Well, thanks so much.
Cool, bro. No problem. Thank you, guys.
Wow. So, you know, I want to thank Chuck for doing that. As you guys could tell, we had coffee machines going off. We did this in a coffee shop in Nashville, Tennessee. So that's why you hear a little bit of background noise, but it adds some ambiance. So, Hannah, you're going to be a big Alice Cooper fan after hearing that interview, right?
I'm guessing.
But, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and we're going to keep following Chuck, and we definitely plan to have him on in the future and talk about his days with Dio and some of the other cool stuff he's done. As I said before, go to decibelgeek.com. Check out all the cool articles on there from our great writers. Rich the Meister Dillon right now is over in Sweden getting ready for the Sweden Rock Festival. By the time you hear this, that may have already happened, but he's going to actually see Chuck play with Alice Cooper over in Sweden representing Decibel Geek. So that guy gets more mileage on this show than we do, and we host the show. But, yeah, as I said before, go to livefastdieloud.com to buy that Bisto Blanco CD. Follow Chuck at Bisto Blanco on Twitter. Of course, go to alicecooper.com for all the things with Alice. And you guys know us. We love Alice Cooper. We're going to keep doing stuff on him in the future. But thanks again to Chuck Garrick for doing that. And thank you guys for listening. And Aaron and I will both be back next week. We'll see you then.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.